the Japanese years. I was 16 years old then. And in the second last year of school, in those days we did not have junior college or O and A level. We just had the senior Cambridge school leaving certificate. And in 1 month's time, I would be in that senior class. Then came Pearl Harbor. To most of you, it will be just a name. But to us, a shock of the first order. Because in school, besides singing ACS forever, as though it is really going to last forever, we also sang God Save the King. Today you sing Majula, Singapura. See, we live in a different regime and a different time period. And on top of that, we were taught the British Empire will never finish. The sun never sets over the British Empire, which is very true. You see, where was the British Empire? Outside of the tiny British Isles, the whole of North America was British. Not counting, of course, United States of America, which had become their own state. A large part of Africa was British. India, Pakistan, British. Ceylon, today called Sri Lanka, is British. Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaya, Sabah, Borneo, most of Borneo. So you see what a big, great empire it was. And we were naturally proud to belong to it, as though it was truly going to last forever until Pearl Harbor. In the Pearl Harbor incident, the major part of the American fleet in the Pacific was destroyed. Some of you have seen the film called Tora, 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 and how the American top brass say, get on with you. Don't tell us such stupid news. What can the Japs do? They went on playing until the news came. The fleet not only moved south, but they were aided by the air arm, that is, the Air Force. And there was the American fleet at the sea bottom. We didn't know much about Japan except along Bras Basah Road in those days and Middle Road. A lot of Japanese shops, they sell cheap toys, and a lot of them were called 10-cent stores. Anything you walk in, you buy for 10 cents. We never knew that the Japanese could do a navy, an army, an air force that was so terrifying that they could destroy the American fleet. Nevertheless, you know, we had been conditioned, you may call it brainwashed, by our teachers and our culture and our meetings in school. British Empire, rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Today you don't hear of such songs, but we used to sing it. So when the British were put back by this Pearl Harbor, the British pride could not contain it, send their two best battleships, Prince of Wales and Repulse, to Singapore. Wow! When the news came that two battleships are here, the morale went right up, and of course, newspapers do not tell you all the truth. They tell you what they want to tell you, and you feel pretty good. Now we are safe. After all, the naval base of Singapore was world famous, the most powerful military base east of Suez. So it was. The first day these two ships went out, the Japanese, we call them the Japs, promptly sent them to the bottom of South China Sea. Amazing. And that dampened our morale a lot. There I was, finished my Standard 8, waiting for Senior Cambridge. Now, what? We were in Batu Pahat. And, you know, we live in a street called Jalan Ismail. And Jalan Ismail, in the local colloquial name given to it, was Jipun Koi. Do you know what it means? Japanese street. Wow! I live in Japanese street. Because on that row of shop houses, of which we had one, there were four Japanese shops. One was a photographer. The Japs prepared for that war a good 10 years and had many thousands of undercover agents working throughout Malaya and Singapore. And that photographer on our Jalan Ismail was one of them. You know, in the weekends, you don't see them going to the kampongs, camera in hand. You think they are going for a joyride, but no. They were taking pictures and making maps, preparing for the armed forces to come from Japan, which they did. A few months before the war broke out, all the Japanese went home to Japan. In my class, there was a Japanese classmate called Ando Goro. I still remember his name. He disappeared. All went back to motherland so that they will not be put into confinement in concentration camps. You see, the Japanese prepared, but the British were so proud. I lived and worked under the British system, and every white skin you saw, sir, good morning, sir. So much so that when I first went to London, the watchman at the front door, I said, hey, sir. He was shocked. He was going to call me sir, and I called him sir. But you see, the whole mindset is white skin. Wow. Great respect. And so that is the atmosphere we worked under. Now coming back to the Japanese. You know, the British knew there was a threat from Japan. We never knew that Japan was the most westernized oriental country in the world. Unlike China, China is so proud. We are the middle country. We know everything. Our culture is the best. We don't need British technology. But the Japanese were very smart. They adopted everything British, including their clothing. They are the only country that goes to parliament in necktie collar, pocket no $1. And there they sit and deliberate in Western garments. But that is beside the point. The thing is, their technology was equivalent and better than the best of British. so that when the Zero fighters came out, the British only had buffaloes. The best fighter they had was kept in Europe to fight the Germans. To Singapore, they sent buffaloes. Buffaloes are a remnant and relic of the First World War, do you know? Amazing. And with that, they were going to defend Singapore. Of course, you dare not go up. When you see the Zeros coming, buffaloes all go to hide, because they'll be promptly shot down. So that was the kind of war. Do you know that in modern warfare, it is said that you do not embark on the war except you outnumber enemy 2-1 at least. I don't know whether that same philosophy is sustained today. But you know, the Japanese had 36,000 soldiers, troops. And the British had 130,000. But numbers apart, most important in the fighting force is discipline and purpose, morale. What are you fighting for? During the Japanese time, I saw a Japanese film showing how their kamikaze fighters took off. Before they go on a suicide mission, they all have a meeting, they all have a drink, and then when they finish the drink, they crush the wine glass and swear allegiance to Tenno Heika, their heavenly emperor. So they go on a mission. Every one of them prepared to give their life for the emperor. You think of the Tommy from London streets. Come to Singapore and Malaysia. And you think they are going to sacrifice their life for queen or king in England? For what? In order that the planters may continue to plant and reap rubber from Malaysia? Not at all. So the morale was different, the purpose of fighting was different. Whereas the Japanese were going to die for the emperor, so happy to say, we Orientals are for the Oriental. And they had been brainwashed, prepared. We're going to establish a Southeast Asia co-prosperity sphere based in Tokyo, Japan. Amazing kind of morale booster. We're going to build an empire for the downtrodden people of Vietnam, Cambodia, Singapore, Malaya, Indonesia. Who are the three powers? France, Holland, England. Amazing. So the Japanese had a purpose and objective. We are fighting for Asians against European colonial powers. They fought a different battle. That's how 36,000 destroyed the defenses and the battle lines of 130,000 British. Among the British forces were not just British, Australians, Indians. And together they made 130,000. But you know, the Japanese never came by the route that the British thought they would. Surely they must come by the sea. And so the British had an island called Belakang Mati. You don't cross this island because behind is death. That's why they call it Belakang Mati. At the back is death. Today it's called Sentosa. But some of the cannons and fortresses are still left there as a landmark. Do you ever see them? Of course. So this is the kind of battle of wits. I just say the British had no particular reason to fight, except that we are colonial power, the greatest empire the world has ever seen. Going to be 500 years old, you know. Rule Britannia until the Prince of Wales and Repulse went to the sea bottom and all of us were so disheartened and said, what to do? Now in Batu Pahat, where I went back, of course, with father and mother, we debated and prayed and we consulted my father's friend. What shall we do? Shall we stay here and wait for the best, which did not come? Or should we all run down to Singapore? The final decision was we all go down to Singapore. So one early morning, in two cars, we took off for Singapore as refugees. Of course, the causeway is jammed with all kinds of Malaysian refugees. So Singapore was full of refugees. And there we went through weeks of bombing from the Japanese. As I said, our local fighters dare not go up. Firstly, their old aircraft, no match for the Japanese. And secondly, they are mostly foreigners. Why should a London boy come and fly to endanger his life? So, no contest. We Singapore citizens learn how to observe the air raid sirens. Whenever we hear the sirens, we at night we switch off all lights. I live in Tiong Bahru, and we were all told how to build air raid shelters under the staircase, because you know I live upstairs and there's a staircase and there's a little space under the staircase, and we put sandbags and we all hid there. Whenever the siren goes, we dive into the shelters and we knelt and prayed. Now that was one exercise in watch and pray. You don't have to be taught that, you know. Whenever you hear the siren, you dive under the shelter and you pray. The remarkable thing is our downstairs neighbor, who were idol worshippers, joined us. And they also knelt down and also prayed to Jesus. Well, after the war, they all got converted because I suppose the experience of the war and their being spared their lives, the whole family became Christians. So that was something good that happened out of the Japanese war. The closest bomb that came upon our area was on Havelock Road. Those of you who live near Tiong Bahru, you know Havelock Road is about half a mile away from Tiong Bahru. And that was a horrifying experience because we could smell the gunpowder and the smoke came over us. After that, we evacuated the Ah Hood Road. Ah Hood Road is off, I don't know, somewhere in near Balestier. But in those days, it was all jungle. Swapa, you know. No houses. Today is all built up. Anyhow, we went up there with our uncles and they built air raid shelters with a lot of sandbags. All of us dive into the shelters whenever we heard and the first months was bombs. The final 4 to 6 weeks, not bombs, mostly shells. No, shells are different from bombs. Shells come that way. Bombs come that way. And shells give a lot of warning because they whistle when they fly. Let's go. bang. And that was frightening. The only person who did not dive into shelters was my grandfather. He, without a shirt because it's so hot, went drinking tea. And even though the shells may be coming, he said, "All of you are so foolish. You trust in sandbags, I trust in the Lord." Walks in around and drinks his tea. He never got injured or frightened in any way. The last day, the last day, one shell entered into the next door neighbor's arid shelter and took off his leg. Wow, that was the only casualty. Now the rest of the time we'll live under the Japanese. Thank God the shelling was not for too long, because the Japanese control the water supply. In those days, even today, about half our water comes from Johor. In those days, I would say almost all the water comes from Johor. And the Japanese caught hold of the controls and threatened to stop the water. Maybe they had stopped, I don't know. But with the trump card in their hand, how could the British and some of our local young men became volunteers and joined the force and began to fight? And these paid dearly for their action, because the Japanese knew. And when they came in, they rounded up all the volunteers and shot them. So that was the thing. Fighting against an unequal force. By that time, the Japanese were crossing the causeway, the Straits of Johor, coming on to Singapore already. How to fight? The British were under General Percival. General Percival had all the armed forces, 100-odd thousand, all caged in Singapore. How to fight? It's an unequal contest. So, mercifully, it was New Year's Eve, Chinese New Year's Eve. He decided to surrender. Now, that picture is a classic picture. The British contingent to surrender came with marching with the Union Jack. And this was the Ford factory in Woodlands. Some of you live near there, near Hume Heights, somewhere there. So they came, cap in hand, and obediently surrendered. Thank God they surrendered. They gave us at least a bomb-free Chinese New Year, February 15, 1942. And for us, of course, we were overjoyed. No more fighting. At least for me, I think. I hope, I wish the war would end. This was February 1942. 42, 43, 44. What was happening elsewhere, we had no idea, because there was only one Japanese newspaper called Shonan Shimbun. And they didn't tell us the truth. But those of us who were more adventurous and daring to take the risk, listened to VOA radio, short wave. You know what is VOA? Voice of America. All the news came from America, because it was America's war. The British were too tired. They were fighting Hitler. How to fight the war there and fight the war here? So this war, theater of war, was left to the Americans. So the Americans came back. And they began what we call the island hopping. From New Guinea, slowly up the islands of the Pacific, up the Mariana, where we have Saipan and Guam, up that way, up to Okinawa and those places. In 1945, opened a new era. How many of you were born already, 1945? But on August the 6th, the Americans sent one bomb, one aircraft with one bomb, and took the island, I think it was Hiroshima first, and dropped one bomb. One bomb, 1 minute, 100,000 Japanese evaporated. Amazing. The emperor couldn't understand it. How come? In 1 minute, the whole city is turned to ruins. And they were deliberating to surrender or not to surrender, to call for peace or not to call for peace. They waited and dilly-dallied. Americans sent a second bomb to Nagasaki. Another 1 minute, another 100,000 people were evaporated. And the Japanese said, "Hey, Emperor, you're not really divine. How come your name is Son of God? And then these Western devils can do all this for us." So they surrendered. They forced the emperor to call for peace. How did we get the news in Batu Pahat? The British sent light planes and dropped leaflets. That's how we knew. Because the Japanese won't tell us. But very soon, they disappeared. And then out came the hill rats, the Chinese resistance force out of the jungles. Came in parade. Wow, in formation. With uniform and carrying guns. And they rounded up all the collaborators and executed them outside the city. So that is a page of history we do not like to remember. Now, after the Japanese surrendered, of course we were waiting. It was about September when the news of surrender came, August to September. So, as far as I'm concerned, we were waiting for the schools to reopen, which promptly did. January, schools reopened. So that is a peep into the past history of the Japanese war and occupation. Life in Batu Pahat was not a bad life at all. We had all heard of the atrocities and the cruelties of the Japanese army, which was well known, especially the rape of Nanking, that caused a famous historian who wrote the story. And in the process of writing the story, she was so upset that she committed suicide. So this is the reputation or the notoriety. How notorious and how wicked and how cruel. A colleague of mine, a doctor, spoke to me about a year ago. In Lentor home, Lentor residence. And he says, you know, in my family, 28 people were massacred by the Japanese in one go. And he escaped, survived. But forever he bears that memory, Japanese. How did we fare? I would say, sweet are the users of adversity. Of course, the war doesn't bring any goodness to us. And during the times when we were in Singapore, There was a shortage of food, naturally. And we were all encouraged to plant. And the simplest thing to plant without much care is tapioca. All you need is the tapioca trunk, the stem. Cut a piece, stick in the ground, and in 3 months' time, you see a good crop of edible food coming out. So we did that. How were the Japanese to us? Immediately after the surrender, we were all in Singapore. The Japanese gave order, return, refugees return. So I and my father returned, two of us. Our family was 9, the rest stayed on in Tiong Bahru. So we went back in order to see what was happening in Batu Pahat. Now I say this was an experience of trust and leaning on the mercies of God. 2 psalms sustain us. Psalm 46, which says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from God, from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So these 2 psalms and other Bible passages sustained us throughout those 4 years. I say, sweet are the uses of the adversity. If not for the war, we were studying in Singapore. And only during the vacations we returned to Batu Pahat or Kluang before Batu Pahat. But this war happened when we were in Batu Pahat. Now, when the war came, there was no school. Anglo-Chinese school and all the rest of the English schools closed. So what happened? Back to Batu Pahat. So I say there was a blessing there. For the first time, we didn't have to leave home for 3 months at a time and go to Singapore to study. But now we all lived in Batu Pahat. And for the first time in my growing up years, I got to know my parents. That is quite a blessing, I would say. Especially to live with parents and to have parental supervision and upbringing. My father was a very strict disciplinarian, as you may guess. Family worship, oh, of course. Morning, 1 hour. Nighttime, 1 hour. No escape. He says, everybody. Everybody means everybody, and you come there. Now, the good thing is, I learned to read the Bible in Chinese, Teochew. Wow, we read the whole Bible, end to end, all in Teochew. Of course, by now, that was 70-odd years ago, I've forgotten most of it, except for some remnant of it. Anyhow, it was a blessing in disguise. Since you cannot go to study, you stay home. And I got very close with mother, which is a blessing. Those of you who still have mothers, how much do you love your mothers? It's not easy because you all grow educated. Mother, of course, is not as highly educated as you. You go to study. But that was not a hindrance at all. To know mother, and then whenever she has any work, I say, mother, can I do it for you? And whenever she's cooking, I say, mother, can I come and learn from you? Amazing. Those were happy days. I say this so that some of you who still have mothers will begin to develop a closer bond. So that bonding was very good. And we all learn to go to church together, worship together. My eyes are wearing out now. So, for 4 years, live with parents until 1946. Schools reopened and I went to school. So happy. After 4 years of never opening a single English book, do you know that? There were some students who were very smart. When we entered school in 1941-42, boys who were in standard 4 or 5 caught up because they had private tuition during the Japanese time. And so when the Japanese went after they lost the war, and the British returned as the schools reopened, I found those who were in standard 5 or 6 in my same class. They hopped triple promotion, hopping, jumping up 2, 3, 4 years, as much as that. Anyhow, back to school was a great joy. We listened to BOA at great risk, because those who were caught went to the Kempei Tai. I don't know whether you understand what is Kempei Tai. Military police of the Japanese army. And there they gave the water treatment. Many of them just died in the detention. Now, after the war, one world power rose above all the rest of the world. And by now you should know, when America dropped the first bomb, it was the first ever to use an atomic weapon. And the second bomb confirmed them as the world's first nuclear power. After that, arose America above all the rest of the nations. Do you know that when we read Daniel 7 just now, it is a description of America, not Rome as such, but because America arose out of the Roman Empire, and the passage we read just now in Daniel chapter 7, if you care to turn there, I'll read for you. Daniel 7, verse 7. This is Daniel's vision. It's a fantastic vision. He was seeing the fourth beast. Please understand, for beast, read world leader. This prophetic language uses terms that are pictorial and prophetic. And don't imagine it's a lion or a tiger, but it just says a beast. And for beast, if you will please read world leader as contrasted to God, who is the Lord, Alpha and Omega, the one who began, who created, and who is the Lord of all the earth, our God and our Redeemer, the giver of life. Now, the opposite of this is the beast. What does the beast convey to you? What meaning? A very destructive creature, but a very powerful and, as I said, destructive, very damaging. One that is very ferocious, very fierce, like a tiger or a lion. So we have witnessed the rise of a world power in America. Do you know that from World War I onwards, America began to rise up? Who was it that saved England from the Germans in the First World War? America. Who was it that saved England in the Second World War? America, again. American arms aid, food aid, and every kind of help, plus American bombs eventually, aircraft went there to help and won the war for Britain. Thereafter, if I may read to you, if you follow, Daniel 7:7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, the fourth world leader, all right, which are the first three. This is history, and it is described in the same chapter of Daniel 7, verses 4, 5, and 6, and 7. There will be described Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. Now these three are all described in secular history. You turn to the history books, it's all there. Babylon the first, Medo-Persia the second, and third is Greece, and the fourth is Rome. Now Rome was very powerful under the Caesars, and they are the rulers of Israel, they overran Israel and took over the whole of the Middle East and Europe. But out of Rome eventually rose America. Now, how does this connect? Do you not know? America was colonized by Europeans. Yeah. And Europeans were all under the Roman Empire. So it is still part of Rome. When the Pilgrim Fathers went and the rest followed and America was established, it was a projection or extension of the Roman Empire. That's why we can read verse 7 as a fulfillment of the fourth world empire seen by Daniel. And this empire is the one that is presently lording over the whole world. Do you not realize this? Today, who rules the world on the political and the commercial and the economic and the military levels? Who? Only one. America. By virtue of its armaments, you know what happened after the Second World War? America has imposed its power over the whole of Asia. In fact, whole world. In Europe, it withstands the Soviet Empire until the Soviet Empire collapsed, 1988. In the East, America fought battles and warfare against North Korea, Vietnam. You know that the amount of bombs they dropped on Vietnam? The amount of bombs was more than the whole of the European theater that they dropped on Europe, that they dropped on Vietnam. So that's how you can read here. Verse 7. Talking of powers, after this, verse 7 says, I saw in the night visions a fourth beast, a fourth world leader, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth, devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the rest with his feet. And it was different from the rest of the beasts. Now comes verse 8. I have ventured to interpret this verse 8, where it says, three of the horns of the ten-horned beasts were plucked up, and behold, in this eye, a horn was eyes like a man, and mouth speaking great things. And this is describing the little horn. Now, please understand, when you have a little brother in the family, it need not necessarily be small. Very soon, the little boy grows into a strong young man. So when you read here, it says the little horn, don't imagine it is a tiny thing. But by virtue of arriving late, it is called little. Like your little brother doesn't remain a little boy all the time. So I venture to interpret verse 8 when it says that I considered the horns and there came up. You see, this fourth beast has 10 horns. 10, I gather, is for completeness. 10 commandments, 10 horns, to make up its full complement of power. And out of it came a little horn. Who is the little horn? I have identified this 40 years ago as America. The little horn that comes out of Europe, the latest power that grows out of Europe, is America. And three of the horns were plucked up. It doesn't say that it was plucked up by the little horn, but it just mentioned that it happened. Three of the horns were plucked up. Now, I have presented to you the Japanese years. What happened with the Japanese war? We in Singapore feel very keenly that it is Malaya, Singapore, that was taken by the Japanese. How about the other conquests of Japan? Do you know that the whole of French Indochina was taken over? Fell to the Japanese? The whole of Dutch East Indies, Indonesia today, fell to the Japanese. So, how many horns were plucked up? Three, exactly. What three? British, Dutch, French. Three horns, gone. And what was the dominant power after this? Little horn, America. So this is how I read the situation, because otherwise you cannot identify the three horns that were plucked up. That is my version. You may have your version. Try, we can exchange notes. So, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of our considering the Japanese years? I say powers come on the world scene. They come and go. Today, it is America. Question is, will America last forever? Answer is no. Why? Because Jesus is coming. And America today has turned from the faith on which it was founded 200 odd years ago. No longer is it a Christian country, do you know that? There is a man called Buchanan, and he's written the book. He says the superpower has committed suicide. It is on the way to demise. What is he talking about? His own country. He says, I've studied and I followed the progress of America. I'm American, I'm telling you. He says, not me. He says, America is committing suicide as a superpower because it has forsaken the faith. Do you think America is a Christian country anymore? 200 years ago, yes, when all the universities and the Ivy League schools were founded, schools like Harvard, Yale, Cornell, New York, they were all based on Christian principle. On the walls and in the on the gate at going to Johns Hopkins, for example, or Harvard, all the Bible verses and all the instructions to those who come and study, they must pray so many times a day. They must read the Bible, and all the Bible verses are given out to them. Today, all these Ivy League schools and American schools, plus the seminaries and the Bible colleges, have turned away from the truth. And this Pat Buchanan, who has written this book, he says, my country has committed intellectual suicide. Will it last till the year 2025? How many years from now to 2025? 13. In 13 years' time. So the question this American man, by the way, is winner of 6 New York Times Best Writer of the Year. And his writing is not trash, but it is serious writing. And he studies the whole national situation in America, and he says, sadly, I must tell you, our country is going to the dogs, is going down rapidly. Intellectual and commercial and economic suicide. There is no way to save America today, except that America dominates the world scene. Even though it is a bankrupt country, in debt to the tune of $17 trillion or some fantastic figure. You know how much is a trillion? $1 million. Or maybe more, I don't know. I've lost count. But it can sustain and it can go on because everybody wants American greenbacks. Even though you do not have the backing, America just churns out more and more paper money. But other countries look for it. Today, America is the world leader in so many fields. Hollywood culture pervades the whole world. Now, the latest is President Obama is called the first gay president. Not that he is gay, but he is pro-gay. What does that mean? He says, hey, my fellow Americans, please respect your neighbor who is a gay. Give him equal rights, that he has the right to marry another man, man and man, or woman and woman, or anyhow also can. Yeah. And Pat Buchanan says, this is madness. This is not Christianity. And if this is the way you go, you're going down the road of perdition. So he predicts, my country cannot last till 2025. How long is that? 13 years to go. I present to you the case of the Japanese years to tell us in no uncertain term, no power on earth will last forever. How long has America been on the scene after the First World War? Now it's about 100 years by now, about 100 years. Will it go on for another 100 years? See the signs, dear friends. We coming up to this Bible conference, taking time off, investing in time, transport, and paying off hotel bills, plus your other expenses. There must be a return. What are we here for? I say, if you have learned no lesson but this one thing, that Jesus is returning, I want you to turn with me as I will conclude this talk now. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Oh, this book of Revelation, I wish you would all read it frequently, seriously, until you know what it's saying to you. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Revelation is to tell you the things that are not easily understood, that except God tell you, nobody can tell you. So, as we read this, thank God for what? For the Bible. Except we have this book, which we hold so dear as God's message to us, we have no clue where we came from. Where are we going? What's going to happen to the whole world scene? You know that we have just emerged out of a calamitous economic disaster. Now Europe is still tottering. They don't know how to solve the problem in Europe because of the debts they owe that they cannot pay. And Europe is the great continent. The biggest power concentrate is in Europe. And America, which is a projection of Europe, together is in the worst state, but it holds the trump card. Verse 1. This is news and revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Who is John? The apostle that Jesus loved, who stood at the foot of the cross, watching the proceedings, and the apostle that Jesus loved, and Jesus said to the mother who was standing by, behold your son, and to John, behold your mother. On his dying cross, our Lord Jesus entrusted mother to the care of John and entrusted John to look after the mother, who bear the record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. Now this is for you and me. Why did I present to you the Japanese years? So that you understand the Japanese episode was only one event of world history. Blessed is he that reads, and that they that hear the words of this prophecy out of Revelation, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. verses 7 to 9. Keep on reading, please. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Dearly beloved, it is my prayer, and I hope yours also, that we will all be ready. That event can come anytime. When the apostles asked Jesus, tell us the signs, Jesus gave all the signs. And among the signs, there's one I want to draw your attention to. It is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 26 to 30. If you quickly turn there, I will read to you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Verses 26 to 30. 28 to 30, I beg your pardon. Are you there? Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 28 to 30. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, where is Sodom? Do you know where is Sodom? Some of us are going to the Dead Sea area in November, December. Sodom is buried in the salt banks of Dead Sea. And it is the lowest point on planet Earth. It is buried there. How come? It is buried because God sent down fire and brimstone and buried the whole city. Where was buried the daughters of Lot who refused to move because their husbands and they chose to remain behind? And they are buried in the salt banks of the Dead Sea. Verse 29, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom. Oh dear friends, all the modern Bibles expunge the word Sodomites out of their Bibles because they do not want to step on the toes of the homosexuals. To brand them as Sodomites. So here is a verse worth your remembering. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It will be the same idea. Today, Obama is the first gay president who dared to publicly say, we must respect the rights of gays to be gay and to marry as gays. This is the sign, dear friends. America is not going to be number one country, number one power forever. It will be for as long as God allows, please understand. And when the Lord returns, that will be it, the end of it. What do we say? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. I read first time, and those of you who are catching up, I read a second time for you. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and all the affairs of men will come to a standstill. Everybody will have to pay attention when the Lord returns. Do you know what will happen to the evil men, unbelievers? Oh dear friends, if you have any relatives or friends who are unbelievers, tell them that the Lord is coming, and the fate of unbelievers, I read to you, you don't have to turn there. The great men of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the powerful men, the military men, and every bondman, including also the free men, when the Lord returns, they will hide themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains and say to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Wow, I never knew a lamb can get angry. Please understand, the name Lamb here refers to the Lord Jesus. When he comes back to a world that is in rebellion and so immoral, men with men, that God could not tolerate some 3,500 years or so, that he had to send fire and brimstone to destroy them. The same Lord is not going to tolerate these end-time homosexuals. Obama can win the next election. Why did he say that you should have give gay rights? Why? Do you know why? Election is coming. You hand out gifts. To get votes, you give gifts to all the gays. Not all the gays, but his stand on gays is to win the public support. Today there is a public sentiment of support. People who are not gays, but because their friends and relatives who are gays, they say, yala, must give them some chance, you know. Live and let live. This is what the Lord says. Yes. And on that day, all these who welcome the gays and all the rest, God will punish. May that day not come upon you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we have considered the imminence of thy return. Help us that we may understand that the Lord is on the way already. Soon he'll appear even at the doors, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. May this thought and this promise of the Word of God comfort and strengthen us in the most holy faith, that we may love thy word and thy person and thy coming. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.